for adults in book arts, ceramics, drawing and painting, fibers, metals, photography, and wood. www.ocac.edu/register.
Andy Warhol is a shush scream. Hang him on my wall.
Good morning. Thanks so much for listening to Art Focus. My name is Ava Lake, and I have with me today Darren Orange. He's a painter who lives in Astoria, and I am the one who wrote that his work is based in an expressive and emotional sort of investment in Oregon landscape, but I think that's actually not completely true. I've done a little bit more of my homework and investigation on his work, and I know that, Darren, you paint a lot of different things, and we're going to talk about them today. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Yes. So for those of you out there, if you're not familiar with Darren's work, you can go to darrenorange.com, and his website's got a lot of images that we're going to be talking about today. Also, just kind of a brief disclosure. About 10 years ago, I had a gallery called Love Lake, a tiny little space with green walls in Northwest Portland, and I showed Darren Orange. So I just wanted to let you know all of that. And I even brought my old press release with me and postcard, just kind of going back in memory lane. I think what we ought to do, first of all, is just sort of briefly describe your work, Darren. This is radio, so, you know, we have to do a little bit of description here. I know I've got my own words for it, but I want you to go first. Someone's asking you what you make. What would you tell them?
That's the hard part, right?
Yes.
I mean... gritty, layered.
Uh-huh.
It's maybe a result of process.
Uh-huh.
So there's a visual history,
yeah.
Lots of addition and then subtraction of the work. Bold colors, maybe romanticized, and high contrast. Sometimes physical rips on the canvas. Sometimes troweled marks on the canvas.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I guess punchy, maybe? I don't really hold back.
Right, right.
So yeah, so expressive, I guess.
And paintings. We're talking paintings here.
Yeah, and mixed media paintings,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're not just using paint, you're putting lots of other things in.
I do experiment. Yeah, it's
uh-huh.
it's about experimentation of material.
Mm-hmm. And then subject matter, what is it? What are you depicting in your work?
It's generally reflective of where I live,
mm-hmm.
or where I'm at the time.
Yes.
So it is landscape or atmosphere based works, or at least referenced works.
Mm-hmm. And though you started in the Pacific Northwest, and I think of you as an artist of the Pacific Northwest, that's not completely true. You went around. You did other things.
I have, but I would say that I'm a Northwest artist. I mean, I think that I'm rooted here. This is what I call home, and I draw inspiration from this area.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm okay with that, but yes, I have gone out and done other things elsewhere.
Right. And we're going to get to all of that, but let's just talk a little bit about... you know, kind of the works that you're maybe most, what I would think of most famous for, or most known for. And I'm seeing like horizon lines and the water and the rocks and the ships. But it's not, how to put this, pristine and smooth. It is sort of like it's been through hell and back again.
Right. Yeah, pretty much.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, how did you arrive at that? I mean, how did you arrive at this kind of depiction?
Frustration.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go with that.
You're going to go? You mean in just your own personal life or as an artist or just with the land or all of it?
Oh, all of it. No, but I mean, specifically to the painting, I think it's maybe a buildup. And then not being satisfied with the piece and
mm-hmm.
kind of a destruction of the piece. So you tend to build up layers and in a subtractive manner.
Uh-huh.
Frustration, I guess, with what the material can do.
Yeah.
So you push the material beyond its bounds and have to come up with other solutions
uh-huh.
for material
right.
to get where you're going with what you're trying to do.
But now, okay, you went to art school, right?
I did.
And studied painting.
I did at Western Washington.
Mm-hmm. And yet paint itself wasn't enough for you.
It wasn't. Yeah, it had its limitations.
Uh-huh. Talk to us about that.
So as a kid sitting on the floor playing with all your toys, right. Why limit yourself to one toy? Why not bring them all in around you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, limitations of material. Mm-hmm. I think that was a big focus for me in exploration of mixed media.
Yes. So when we talk about mixed media, what are we talking about? What else are you using? Because I think it's changed over time, right?
It has, yeah. I mean, in the past I've used concrete and plaster and burlap and linen sewn into the burlap, carpet adhesives and various industrial goos.
In with the paint or on the bottom of it? Or
usually the surface is prepared and grounded so that it won't be attacked by these heavy acids in these materials, and then encapsulated under thick varnishes so it really can't go anywhere.
So there's not any, this is I'm sure a question that collectors have. There's no conservation issues when you're mixing all this stuff or?
Well, maybe with
no
some,
promises here.
No, right. Not at all.
Yeah.
I do take measures to, to mitigate loss.
Right. What would that mean? Would that mean that it was crumbling? The painting crumbles
right,
after a time?
Right.
This
so,
was an issue with Jackson Pollock and
sure.
Rothko, a lot of the expressionists
right.
to which you were in some ways related, right?
A bit. Yeah, not genetically, but
no.
Yes.
Art historically. art historically, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. So what would be your issues or what are things that one would have to worry about with your work? Would it crack?
It could. Yeah, it could crack. There could be failure, one layer coming off of another layer.
Right.
So I'm definitely continuing to explore that to mitigate those problems. But I'm not using concrete so much anymore, or plaster, or various fragile material.
Right.
Rather, materials that are more closely related that will not...
Will marry.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So now let's just go back a little bit. So you went to art school, and then after that, were you in a collective of some sort?
Yeah, it was very impromptu.
What happened?
Well, two of my friends that I went to Western Washington with, we moved to a very remote corner of southwestern Washington.
Uh-huh.
I think it was a population of 3,000 in the entire county.
Whoa.
Not
a lot to do.
No, there wasn't, which was great. Right.
Yeah.
After art school, you kind of have to process what you've got in your head. So the three of us each rented a room in an old schoolhouse and lived across the street from it and just painted for a year. Did nothing really but paint 12 hours a day and look at art books and listen to music. So
you were tight with these individuals, I take it.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
So you still, what did that do for your work at the time? I mean, I actually can look back at my diaries, and I know that the people that I was close with at that time really influenced the decisions I made, for better or worse. How was that for you?
Oh, I think I was playing catch-up growing up in a rural community and being involved with these individuals that had a more vast art historical knowledge than I.
Oh, good.
So, yeah.
It was a good thing.
It was an amazing thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And then after this, is that when you went to Astoria? How did you end up at the coast?
Yeah. So I was essentially across the river from Astoria and about an hour out of Astoria. And I decided to make the move into the big city.
Really? Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So... is that around the time when I first, was that like 10 years ago?
Right. Yeah, 13 years ago.
All
yeah.
right. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and how did you know that landscape, of course, that's kind of a narrow definition because I know you've painted many things since then, but how did you know that this was something that you wanted to tackle? Was that part of it, going to Astoria? You knew this is a place I want to paint, or?
I think it was accident that I landed there.
Yeah, okay.
And it worked out.
Yeah.
And the rent was right. The rent was cheap.
Uh-huh.
But I think I'd always been influenced by landscape and the sublime and the expanse of space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, growing up in the rural community of Yakima, Washington,
right.
Seeing big sky and open space. I think Astoria was Well, it was definitely a contrast to the dry and the hot,
right?
With the wet and the cold. But seeing atmosphere, seeing it roll in, and that expanse of the horizon line where the Pacific Ocean meets the sky. I think that's it. And that, in that convergence zone of the Pacific and the Columbia,
mm-hmm.
That tumultuous zone.
Okay. So, one thing, you just talked about it, the fog, right? Did you just talk about that, or the white, or whatever? So that is something I think you paint kind of over and over again, in a sense. This haze, this...
Uh-huh.
True?
Atmosphere, yeah.
Atmosphere, yeah. Just atmosphere, right.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Fog, atmosphere, movement, wind,
yes,
air.
Yes, yes. But what I'm saying is it's not necessarily a structure, and it's not necessarily... a color. Like, I mean, it's not like you're just putting white down there or something like that. You're kind of finding a million ways to say that and make that. No?
Yeah. Yeah.
I see that over and over again in your work.
I think it's permeated.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm trying to paint it out. I don't know.
Trying to paint it out. Yes. So let's just talk a little bit about, like, how do you start? Wait, I want to go back up here before we get to the starting of work. There's this other part to your, there's this other component to what you do. I remember that you used to sort of like retrieve materials, use recycled materials, sort of get things out of the dump and reuse them. So in a way, you were sort of recontextualizing what was the landscape and sort of talking again about nature versus industry.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, definitely.
So how do you do that? Would you spend days going out and getting things, knowing you were going to use it in a particular way? Like, how'd you make that happen?
Well, it happened pretty quick. It's readily available at most landfills. I don't do it anymore.
Uh-huh.
I think I made the statement that I wanted and moved. But yeah, it's very easily found.
Uh-huh.
and it's welcomed.
Yes.
Turn it into something.
So, and there's another part to this, which is that you're still doing multimedia things, but from what I understand, you're sort of working with, I don't know, digital media and what have you, or collaging, or like,
how is a
painting more complex now for you? What are you doing now that's different in your materials?
Well, I've always used the camera, and the image as reference.
Uh-huh.
So either saving the image for reference later, like a sketch, or now what I'm trying to do with these JPEGs that I have, as I've manipulated them, breaking them down, I'm trying to find a home for them, whether it be working them into a painting or printing them on a maybe a non-traditional material and then painting or scratching back into it.
So you're taking photos of things that you normally would have maybe made a painting of, is what
yes,
you're saying.
Right.
And then trying to find a way to incorporate that into your work.
Right, right. So
uh-huh.
I'm either printing off the photo and then reworking it physically
uh-huh.
With paint, or had I maybe printed the photograph on a piece of aluminum, then start to break down the image physically by acids and torches and grinders.
Whoa. So you're doing that now?
Yeah. Yeah. That's still in the kind of the R&D stage of things.
Right. Yeah. So, but I could see how that would be very related to everything you're doing because it's kind of got that rusty thing. Does it have
right.
that rusty thing going on?
Yeah. Rusty, patina.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow. So how do you start at work? I mean, are you somebody who, I mean, just with painting, are you drawing it all first? Or are you, how do you commence something like that? Because I know you're working in layers. So
right.
what's the starting point?
I think it depends on exactly where I'm at. There's two processes that I start.
Uh-huh.
One could be a very representational subject that I'm
right.
trying to achieve.
Uh-huh.
And that starts like a chess match, very calculated.
Uh-huh.
But then there's other paintings that I start that are completely automatic.
Yes.
And dissolved of any thought as to where it's going to go.
Uh-huh.
And then sometimes they're confused,
right.
And I fight through the painting that way too. So
I would imagine you can take more risks in the beginning, right? I mean, I from what I understand, it seems to me your painting, if you're talking about building something up building something up and then bringing it down.
Right.
There's more risk the further you go in.
Yeah, definitely. For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it might start as a chess match, and then it progresses into a street fight with the piece.
Right.
And then it goes back into some calculated moves, the last 10% of the piece.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to KBOO Portland. My name is Ava Lake, and this is Art Focus. If you want more information about this radio show, you can go to kboo.fm/artfocus, and you can get more information about my guests. And there's audio files of most of the interviews that I've done here. I've been here about 5 or 6 years. I've also been sharing this show lately with Joseph Gallivan. Want to give a shout out to him because he's really helped me maintain this show, and we're sharing the show a lot together. For instance, he'll be here next week, and then I will return the week afterwards. My guest today is Darren Orange, who's a fantastic painter, though just to say paint sounds a little limiting because it is more than that. There's sculpture involved and there's photography involved. And his website is darrenorange.com. He's based in Astoria, and he's often taking subject matter which comes out of the Oregon coast, but other types of landscape. And in fact, it's true, Darren, that you lived in the Southwest for a while.
I did. I lived in Santa Fe.
You lived in Santa Fe. So much so influenced by that time that you brought a small painting here. We're just going to talk a little bit about a painting that you can't see, people, but we're going to describe it very well, which is of a horse. And we'll talk to just a little bit about it. Like, what does this image mean to you, and why is it important? Why do we have it here?
Well, actually, this piece was done recently at a residency in Wyoming at the U-Cross Foundation residency.
Okay, all right.
So I had been doing horses in Santa Fe, when I went to Wyoming, I picked up the
vibe again?
Yeah.
Right. Well, talk to us a little bit. What is, you know, because I think a lot of artists want to do a residency. I've done one. It was fantastic. So what did it mean for you? How did you get it? And what did it all involve?
It was incredible.
Uh-huh.
I would highly recommend it. I'd be on a 12-month residency if I could find one.
If you could.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was this one like, Wyoming? What was that like for you? Were you with other artists?
Yeah.
What happened?
There were 8 artists. There were 4 visual artists, 2 composers, and 2 writers.
Wow.
And on a 20,000-acre cattle ranch.
Uh-huh.
And the buildings were rehabitated for studios and for living.
Uh-huh.
They were reconstructed old Burlington Northern buildings.
Yeah.
It was a fabulous, fabulous time. I got a lot of work done in 4 weeks.
4 weeks.
I started over 20 paintings and finished at least 12.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, I felt good.
Yes. So, you know, this is just the first time I'm really thinking about it. The obvious thing, I mean, what you do is rather physical.
It is. It's
right.
Yeah. It's more of a dance than an easel painting. You know, practice.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
I'm standing up when I'm painting.
Yes,
I don't sit down.
Yes, me too. I never sit down. Please.
I don't like an easel. I don't even understand what that is.
So you're beating against a wall.
Wall, floor.
Yeah.
Sawhorses.
Right. Yes.
But
I always thought of
the floor.
Easel is kind of strange. We had them in art school, and it was like, what is this?
They just fall over and
yes.
bounce.
Right. So, but I mean, it doesn't take you that. This is kind of gestural, the kind of work that this horse is. So you can see this on his website, by the way, I imagine, or an image like this. Yes,
definitely.
But the horse started for you in Southwest.
It did.
Uh huh. Yeah. Why did you go down there, and what happened?
I was working at a bronze foundry there, casting fine art at the Schedoni Foundry, a renowned foundry. So we were casting fine art for artists all over the country, both small and monumental in scale.
Uh-huh.
So at night I got to do my own work, in which I cast a chess set.
Okay, so let's just talk about this for a little while. So this was a day job that you had.
Basically. I had a day job.
Fantastic, right?
Yeah.
And how did you get involved with that? Had you been doing that up here?
No.
I looked out, right? How'd you do that?
There's a lot of foundries in Santa Fe. I think over maybe a dozen now.
Uh-huh.
And so they were always putting out calls in the classifieds for laborers.
Right.
So it wasn't really that difficult.
Right. Had you had any experience at all in that?
In
there's
school,
foundries.
Yeah.
There's foundries in Washington as well. Some well-known ones.
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
I did some work in school, in a foundry, but mm-hmm. it was limited.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Had it been a goal of yours to make your to do bronze casting? Is that what you were doing? What exactly did you make?
We were doing the lost wax casting technique.
Uh-huh.
I hadn't really ever thought of it, but when you were around 25 artisans in the shops and seeing their work, their personal work, you definitely get inspired to do your own.
Right.
So you couldn't help but not be involved and make your own work.
Uh-huh. And what were you painting down there? How did your visual images change or grow or evolve?
Mm. I think the color got hotter.
Mm-hmm. And it's already pretty hot, but we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
So it got even warmer.
It did, mm-hmm. yeah. And maybe more stark and more minimal,
mm-hmm.
More sun bleached. And I mean, the light quality is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was an amazing time, too.
So you had an exhibition, which just closed, I believe.
I did.
Uh-huh. Cascadia.
Yes, at the Peninsula College in Port Angeles.
So, you know, it's a special word to many people. Talk to us about why you called it that and what that means for you. Because I think Cascadia is like, it's a word that's thrown around a lot and means a lot of things. And, I mean, in my generation, my time, it was Ecotopia.
Uh-huh.
Do you know that word?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know that book?
Yeah.
All
no,
right.
Not the book.
Oh, well. Anyway, but Cascadia, talk to us about it.
A sense of place. I think that's where I was going with that. And the references that Cascadia has been rooted in.
Uh-huh.
The eco-political movement of statehood.
Uh-huh.
More directly, the area in which I'm painting from.
Yeah.
So, or the area in which I'm influenced by.
Right.
So I think the connections of the imagery that I was showing mm-hmm. married up to that that definition.
Mm-hmm. And do you see in your work more and more kind of like bringing many different mediums together? I mean, now that I've observed your work for, I don't know, almost a decade, I guess, I showed you in 2004.
Three or four, yeah.
Four. Wow. 10 years, right? So it's amazing how fast it goes by. But so you explored a lot of different mediums. Is that kind of your goal to like incorporate more photography, sculpture, everything, so that you really have like done a lot of different things with your message, with your image of Cascadia?
Definitely. I think that the different mediums influence and cross-pollinate each other and
mm-hmm.
In my work. Right now, I'm typically painting more just in oil, but I maybe get, again, frustrated with the material, so I'll jump over to another medium and mm-hmm. work that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think it exercises different parts of the creative mind to maybe jump around in different medium
mm-hmm.
and experiment. It's about play, I think.
So just to throw out a few, people you've been compared to or what have you. So there's the Romantics, there's the Expressionists, there's Anselm Kiefer, and then Richard Speer like threw in meets Ed Kleinholz. Could you did you relate to that? What do you think of these comparisons and these comparisons?
Well, I mean, I've rummaged around through a lot of junk, and the family farm had a junk pile of old car parts and doors and whatnot. So it made sense. I think the color and the of the rusted out Kleinholz pieces
uh-huh.
may have made a connection, or the idea of painting ruinous obsolescent objects.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, maybe all those things.
They kind of marry together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how is it that you? I mean, I find this interesting, but I'm just going to bring this up because people have said this to me. You look like your work. Have people said that to you?
No, I've heard the one that you look like your dog.
Oh, no. Really? Yes.
Okay.
And your name looks like your work, right?
Yeah.
That's
definitely.
Not, that can't all just be a coincidence.
Right?
Right? I mean, sure. paintings are, in a way, a self-portrait.
Yeah, yeah. I guess, well, they definitely are.
Right. Yes. Is there anything that you haven't painted yet that you want to do? I mean, are there things, the kind of plans that you've made that are things you're looking forward to? Or what's next for you?
Breaking down the subject even more.
Yes?
Yeah.
What does this mean? I mean, more abstractions? Kind of like, if you look at the images that we had for your show way back when, like,
right.
okay, you can't see this, but my question would be, what is this?
Yeah, it's
you
hard
don't
to say.
Know.
Don't really know.
You don't really know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you like to explore that?
Yeah.
right. Yes. Yes.
Breaking down the, yeah.
Breaking down the image.
Right.
All right. Well, Darren, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I've been talking with Darren Orange. He just had a show called Cascadia, which was where?
At Peninsula College in Port Angeles.
Very nice. And he has more, lots of images you can check out at darrenorange.com. Wanted to let you know that in a couple weeks, I'm going to have an interesting show. There's been a lecture series happening in Portland called Women in Art. And it's been organized by Prudence Roberts and Sue Taylor, who are art historians and professors of art history in this town. And they've been bringing women, various women artists, to Portland, which is exciting. And their next guest is going to be Jean Quictusee Smith. And she's a native that came from here, but she's been all over. But she's coming back on November 21st, and she's speaking at the Performing Arts Center at the Sylvania PCC campus. So that's going to be a cool thing, and we're going to do a whole show around that. That'll be my next show here at Art Focus. I'm Ava Lake, and this is Art Focus. I'll be talking with you in a couple weeks.
Andy Warhol, let's just scream, hang him on my wall.
DJs play
45 RPM records
all day.
Tune into KBOO on November 16th from noon to midnight
for a special 45th anniversary celebration.
DJs will play 15-minute sets of 45 RPM records.
While from noon to 8 p.m., we'll have an open house birthday party at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue with refreshments,
birthday cake, station tours, and more.
So join us November 16th.
In person at KBOO from noon to 8 p.m. and on air from noon to midnight.
To celebrate our 45th year of serving the musical, political, and cultural needs of the Portland metro area, Cascadia, and the world.
For more information, go to kboo.fm/45rpm2013.
Aquí yo estaré presente.